I'm not sure anymore just how it happened before. The places that I knew were sunny and blue. I can feel it deep inside, this black nigger's pride. I have no fear when I say, and I say it every day, every nigger is a star. Every nigger is a star. Who will deny that you and I and every nigger is a star?
All right, welcome to the Ferguson Response Network podcast. I am your host, as usual, Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as usual, by my awesome co-host, Ricky L. Hines II. What's going on, Ricky?
Nothing much. Just got done celebrating our AUA's 1 year anniversary. And episode 20 was actually pretty special because I got to have the entire AUA podcast cast on to discuss the first episode. Which is fucking hilarious because I was a nervous wreck. And the second half, me and Sherelle are joined by my mom, which is fun because my mom's nuts.
It was such a great episode. So it was so great to hear everybody all together because usually we don't get to hear angry black guy and angry white guy at the same time. That was really cool for me as a listener. And your mom is the bomb, so there's just that as well. What have you learned in these 20 episodes? What's your takeaway and your on your podcast anniversary?
That what I'm doing works. I was nervous about doing the amount of editing that I do, especially when everyone's putting out like 2-3 shows a week or 5 shows a week or at least once a month. Mine's is every 2 weeks if I'm lucky. But the show sounds good.
It does.
And I, you know, it sounds like it would sound if I had 8 of me and I could do a daily show.
Yeah.
But I can't. So do what I can.
Everything is not for everybody. It's one of the things I love about podcasting is that some things work for people and some things don't. And you have to kind of find what works for you and what makes, you know, you tick well, so to speak. So I think that's great.
Like me and John is always talking about how he likes, you know, he wants his show to be raw. I don't like my meat raw, so I don't, why would I like my podcast raw?
Yeah. And also I'd like to know what his definition of raw is also. So there's that. Because it's not the same for everybody.
He does little to no editing.
Yeah.
He does little
to no editing. Oh, is that what he means? I don't do a lot of editing either. I don't. I try not to. I edit like in the midst of doing the show. I don't like to do a lot of post editing. I'll do cuts and things like that. But
I love post editing. It's fun for me.
Yeah, but you're good at all that stuff, all that tinkering and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not that good at it.
I'm a tinkerer. It's
you
what I do.
You are a tinkerer. Tinkerer. Anyways, if you have never heard our show before, welcome. We are a weekly podcast devoted to supporting citizens working to create lasting social change through sustained civil disobedience and civic action. And if you have never had the pleasure of listening to the AUA podcast, Ricky is a Los Angeles native, U.S. Navy veteran, avid Googler, blogger. He's founder of the Americans United Again movement. And of course, as we said, host of the Americans United Again podcast and also co-host of the AUA Hope podcast, which focuses solely on positive news stories. It's another fantastic show, and he co-hosts that one with the lovely Sherelle. And you can find me at Leslie Mack, M-A-C, and you can find Ricky at A-U-A-D-O-T-O-R-G on Twitter occasionally. You can for sure find him on Facebook, and you can find him on his website as well, which is AmericansUnitedAgain.com.
org.
Org. Gosh darn it. Mm-hmm. I almost had
or AUA movement.
Or AUA movement. Either way. And as for us, you can find our show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Ferguson Response Network, or you can go to FergusonResponse.org. And I'm also really excited to announce that the Ferguson Response Network Tumblr has a new look. We have upgraded the interface quite a bit, and I'm really excited for people to take a look at it. So if you are looking for Black Lives Matter actions in your area, or if you would like to add an action that you're planning, you can go to FergusonResponse.tumblr.com to check it out. It's really just a cleaner look. It makes searching by date, by location, by hashtag a lot easier. And also the way that you can submit your actions is a lot more prominent. It's just a cleaner look. And I'd like to thank my newly appointed lead developer, Alex, for all of his hard work. And Alex has actually been working with me since the beginning, since I started Ferguson Response Network. He helped me develop so many things with regard to the website and the Tumblr, and really happy to have him on officially as a lead developer for Ferguson Response Network. So definitely check it out. Again, FergusonResponse.tumblr.com to look for actions near you or to add your actions that you're planning in the help for the fight for Black liberation. And one small addendum, you can also now on your Android device or Google Play find the AUA app, and you can listen to our show on there, and you can listen to AUA Hope, and you can listen to the America's United Again podcast, and you can access a whole host of stuff that's awesome. So check that out as well.
Seriously, I have no life now that I'm thinking about it. What the hell?
What the heck is going on? So obviously we're going to do some news, and we're changing the format a little bit of the show. We've been doing some really great, amazing shows, I think, delving deep into some high level topics with regard to supremacy and anti-blackness and Black Lives Matter and the movement itself, which we are going to continue to do. But Ricky and I are going to spend time talking just the two of us about news items because they've become, you know, a little too large to include with the other topics we want to really ensure we devote a full hour to. So this is the first week we're going to be doing that. So this is going to be our news episode for this week. And lamentably, we have to start with the death and murder of Walter Scott. So quick hits, just your immediate, you know, things you might want to just say about the situation and how things have unfolded up till now, Ricky.
I made the observation on Facebook that the only reason he was arrested and charged is because he planted evidence on camera.
Right.
That's it. Because had he not been on camera and he planted the evidence, nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
Had he been on camera shooting him like he did, that might not have gotten him prosecuted because he could still make the claim that he was in fear for his life.
He's scared.
There's no legitimacy in that fear, but he can still make the argument and not be charged. So that was his fatal mistake, I guess.
I guess we'll see. One thing I like to always point out is that, you know, this is not what victory looks like, which is a police officer getting arrested. It's not a victory at all. We don't know if there will be a conviction. We don't know what the sentencing would be if there is a conviction. I'd like to know about all of the other officers that were either on scene or party to the lies that were reported and put together in the aftermath of this murder. So, you know, there's and the media who have not been held accountable for their reports that they made prior to the video being released. So there's a lot of pieces to this story that have yet to be held accountable or even really discussed as the way they should be. And I got really incensed today by this fucking Time cover. Have you seen this shit?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's really gross. The cover says Black Lives Matter. This time there's an arrest.
What in the fuck? Really? Yeah. It's so, and it's, you know what? It's so, it appears so well-intentioned, but at some point you have to conclude that we've told you this kind of shit is problematic,
yeah,
and you keep doing it
consistently.
You're not trying to help.
No, and this still, I think, is this white America notion that Black Lives Matter is some sort of checklist that at some point will be checked. Like, that's not the way this shit works, motherfuckers. This isn't a checklist movement. This is an ongoing, consistent fight that you're going to be dealing with pretty much to the end of time. So, yeah. There's that. And yeah, don't be trying to say that Black Lives Matter is solved because one police officer was arrested.
Yeah, because it doesn't mean that anyone else would be held accountable. And this man is still dead.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. Just
and
not,
the, what's
just
so funny is the thing that there was a warrant out for his arrest for, he can never even fix anymore. Because
no.
Guess what?
He's dead. He's
can,
gone.
That back child support that everybody's complaining about, well, how's he going to pay it now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it says Black Lives Matter. This time the charge is murder. And then they show the picture. When was the last time that a white person in the midst of being killed was on the cover of a magazine like this? The answer
is
fucking never. How do you think his family feels seeing this shit? His loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
The people of his community. Even in this, we have no humanity. And it's just fucking disgusting to me. And I keep seeing Black people posting it. Like, yeah.
Because
Black Lives Matter. It's like, get a fucking clue, man.
Because people need this. Honestly, people need to deal with the repercussions of their actions. And be able to look at how complicit they are. If we started talking about that and you want to show the video or this picture, I get it. Because it's to underscore that this isn't a fucking... this isn't a joke. This isn't a one-off. Like, that's what you do when you're trained. He shot exactly as you would train to shoot.
Absolutely. The only thing I saw that was, I wouldn't even call it levity, but it just made me really think that they were like, he shot as though he was too lazy to run. Like, I'm supposed to pursue on foot at this time point, and I'm not doing it. I'm just going to kill this dude. Because that's what that's exactly how it came off. It's like, oh, protocol should be, there's no present danger. The person is running. I'm supposed to run my fat ass that way. And yeah, I'm just going to shoot him because who gives a shit about this Black dude? Fuck him.
Yeah. But I mean, the laws that govern lethal force are so subjective. Like what is when you define a reasonable threat, what's reasonable?
Right.
When you live in an institution where Black people are seen as inherently more violent and one takes off fleeing, apparently that's threatening.
Apparently.
Coming
towards them is threatening.
This isn't
going
the first time somebody's been shot in the back on camera.
No.
Think about that for a second.
Nope.
This is not the first time.
No. It's not. It's not the first time, and it's enough with this trying to make it sound like, oh, this is an isolated incident that just happened to be caught on video. Man, fuck you. Let's not pretend like we're stupid here. If you want to be a bigot and you want to be a racist and you want to think that Black people deserve to die, then just fucking say so. Stop trying to pretend like
that
that's not what
you
mean.
That kind of white person has consequences.
Come on.
Remember, it's...
Does it?
When they talk about... Yes. Socially, it does. To some degree.
I don't know about
not as
that.
Much as we, they, not as much as it should, but there is... Because there's this feeling among white people that, I'm a good person. And really, I'm not one of those crazy racist white people.
Right.
When they say I'm a good person, it's I'm a good white person.
Right. No, it's true. I tell this story all the time about... Unruly Rev that we had on the clergy group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she even told it on the air or not, but she had another clergy person call her and say, I've been talking about Black Lives Matter a bunch and I don't know. One of the members came up to me, one of the white members, and said, if you keep talking about this, visitors that come are going to, they're going to leave. They're never going to come back. And Julie said, well, he forgot to add the word white. And she's like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, what he meant was when white visitors come, they're not going to come back. That's what he meant. Because if a Black person came and they heard you saying this shit, they're not going to leave. They'll be back next week. If a Hispanic person came and heard you saying this shit, they're not going to leave. They'll be back next week. So what he was trying to say to you is that he only wants people like him in that church. And you have every right as a minister to be like, fuck that. Get your shit together, sir. You need to unpack all that before you come up in my face trying to tell me what to say at the pulpit. So that's this whole, it's all I hear. I'm interested to see how this plays out only because I feel like white people have put some sort of pin in this particular incident. Like, yes, this is the bad thing. This is it. And to me, it's just a matter of time before, well, what's wrong with this guy? He shouldn't have done this, and he shouldn't have done that, and he shouldn't have, and he shouldn't have, and he shouldn't have. He owed back payments on child support. Man, you know how many white dudes owe child support right now? Get the fuck out of here.
Dudes owe child support right now. They're man. Not dead.
It's not just dead. Craziness. And how is killing them helping their kids if that's what they're wanted for? None of it even makes any goddamn sense. Nothing. No. Nothing at all. But it's just ridiculous.
It's these kind of – this is what happens when you have over-policing of neighborhoods. It's like the entire interaction is predicated upon a broken taillight. Now, if you're profiling as a cop – and I don't mean racially profiling. I mean just good police profiling. Someone driving a 20-year-old Benz with a broken taillight – probably hasn't fixed it because they don't have the money to. You writing them a ticket isn't going to get that fixed. You know what I mean? And then we also have this I don't know what to put it, this cultural expectation that's completely different from one another when you talk about white people and their interactions with the police and black people largely. The reason he ran is because he was in fear of his life. Not his livelihood. You can go to jail for child support and be out in a relatively decent amount of time. As long as you can finagle your way out. That's kind of the benefit of, male privilege in some respects. But to run from a cop who hasn't even told you that you're under arrest or anything, that requires an amount of fear based on one, previous interactions, and what generally happens. It's no surprise. You see this shit on the news all the time.
Constantly.
There have been more black people killed by the police in 2014 than all of the people who have died in 9/11. Think about that. Or, I'm sorry, not in 2014. From 9/11 on forward, There have been more people to die. Black people to die from police violence than people who have died in 9/11. Let that sink in. Are you okay with that? Like, as a society,
the police have just they're so out of control. It's getting to I don't even know what to say about it anymore. And I.
It's just fuck poor people. That's what it is.
It really, truly is. You hit it right on the nose on that one. And I'm the other thing I wanted to make sure that we discuss in the context of the story is, people trying to make it sound like this isn't exactly what happened to Mike Brown. I tweeted that today. I said, any of you trying to say this that there's any difference between Mike Brown and Walter Scott, fuck you. Yeah, that's it. Because I don't want to hear about it. Because it's bullshit. The only difference is that there's actual video pointed directly at exactly what was happening at that exact moment. It's the only fucking difference. Because what you have decided to do is just believe whatever police say. And in this goddamn instance, absence of that video, the same shit would have happened. The same shit would have happened. So I don't know why there's even a discussion about it and why anybody thinks that me personally as a black person in this country would ever believe what a police officer has to say about what they did to a black person ever. And I fucking mean ever. Anytime they open their mouth, I will assume they're lying because they've proven nothing but that. I'm just acting accordingly. You want to talk about a rat in a maze? I got it. I'm pushing the goddamn lever. I get it. You're lying. Thank you for proving it time and fucking time again. You lie.
Yeah, because this is exactly what happened. I mean, and what bothers me is that even during Mike's death, you had people just literally taking what was said by the police at face value.
Yes, with no
Regard to the fact that there were lies told by the police. So, you know, everything that they said
should
go
be
out
suspect.
The window.
Yep.
If you're going to throw everything that supported the victim or supported Mike Brown, the victim, like if one lie is enough to negate everything on one side, then it should be enough to negate everything on the other. And we should be able to go, guess what? Maybe look at all the evidence together and maybe let a jury of one's peers decide. Oh, no, that sounds like justice. Never mind.
Nah,
I'm fucking out.
Fuck that. We don't get to justice part. And also, I just think it's like, you know, the gentleman who recorded this video, and, you know, I pray at night for him. And I will continue to do so because I'm very concerned for his
Absolutely.
Safety, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, if he had just seen what happened and then just said, hey, this is what happened, nobody would believe him.
No.
Not a single fucking person would believe him. It would have been whatever the cop said goes, and it doesn't, I don't give a shit what eyewitnesses you have and what the eyewitnesses say. And it's like, this is where we are. We're only, not even, because honestly, even photographic and video evidence doesn't mean shit anyways. I mean, we watched them kill Eric Garner. We watched them kill John Crawford. We watched them kill Tamir Rice. We've watched so many. So it doesn't really have anything to do with it. And you're right. The distinction here is the planting of the evidence. And clearly that's where the police draw the line. You know, they're giving them bad
news. Because at that point, and it's again, it's because the bar for fearing for one's life or fearing for the public safety is so fucking low that you couldn't just not plant the fucking evidence and gotten away with it. Really? You could have said that you thought he dropped the fucking taser. Or that you didn't realize that he may have dropped the taser and it was at your feet. You just knew that he had taken it from you.
I think that's a change in the climate, though. I think that's what a post-Ferguson police force looks like when they want to do the same shit that they've done before, but they know that the scrutiny is different. And they know that people are going to question whatever they say, even if it doesn't end up with, you know, them going to jail or anything. Just that the department itself is going to be scrutinized. And they know that that's what's going to happen. I mean, I can guarantee you right now that if you went back 7 months ago and you told Chief Belmar your options are to give Darren Wilson up and put him in jail or go through that DOJ report, guess which one that motherfucker would choose now? Because I guarantee you Darren Wilson would be in jail if you gave him those two goddamn choices right now. And
I honestly think every single
person in Powell and Ferguson would have preferred to have put this motherfucker in jail and gone right on killing black people, because they would have been able to honestly, they've continued
to
do it.
Falls apart.
I'm not saying it's the right thing, and I'm not saying it would have been the best thing either. I'm just saying that that's what happens in a post-Ferguson police environment, is that you realize the repercussions are not going to just be specific to you. They are going to be much farther reaching, especially if they can't get to you. Because that's where we are at this point. It's like, well, we can't get this one officer. Well, let's just look at everything that's going on here, because what else can we do? We got to do something.
Yeah, because we have to convince everyone time after time after time after time that this is an isolated incident when it's really not. If you have to, like, it just makes no sense.
None at all.
And it's not supposed to, because, again, it's like, it's conservative logic.
It's ridiculousness.
If one domino falls or everything else falls, and you have to admit that everything that you've believed with respect to white supremacy or racism is fucking wrong.
Yep.
You don't want to do that. That's uncomfortable. So this isn't the same thing. You know, Michael Brown was a thug. Michael Brown stole. Actually, Michael Brown didn't steal. It's still shit. He was being a jackass, but what 18, 19-year-old, you know, isn't a jackass from time to time? You know, that doesn't warrant death.
Sure.
Nor does that even warrant fucking arrest. Like, let's be honest. That doesn't even warrant arrest.
It doesn't
jaywalking,
require anything.
Jaywalking.
It's crazy. One action I wanted to talk about that happened over Easter weekend. Well, we had, and I think I had mentioned before about Reclaim Holy Week, which was really great. I thought a lot of really wonderful actions took place nationwide, which was really looking to connect the narrative of Jesus with the Black Lives Matter movement and just using this opportunity of, celebration and reverence for the story of Jesus and for lack of a better way of putting it, living up to the ideals that Jesus, the person, upheld in scripture. So it was really, really great. But one other thing that happened was hashtag Black Church. Did you see anything about Black Church over the weekend? It was pretty intense.
Actually, I think I was too busy being a bedside Baptist. I mean, the first pew.
Bedside Baptist is cool. it was really interesting action that was put together by Millennial Activists United, MAU, and it's a grassroots group out of the Ferguson area led by queer women of color, and they gathered outside the Friendly Temple Missionary Baptist Church with signs that read, "Jesus questioned the status quo," and "You don't have to choose between faith and activism," and "Jesus was revolutionary." It was great because, as we all know, in the Black Church, Easter is a big fucking deal. And so it was pretty powerful that they chose this venue to stage this protest. And they were outside. They were not interrupting services or anything like that. So it wasn't a question of, interrupting anyone's worship or anything. It really was so focused specifically on just bringing this narrative to the place where it hasn't been spoken about. I think we talked a lot about in the clergy conversation about the Black Church and what where they are, what that means, and why they haven't shown up the way that we should expect them to. And so this really was what the action was about. And I thought it was a really beautiful showing, and they've been getting a lot of backlash, a lot of pushback, a lot of, people not happy with the action itself. They had several objectives, which were one, to confront the Black churchgoers with the truths that they often do not acknowledge. Number two, to spur our people into taking action, direct action in the communities they pray for. And number three, to make the connection between Jesus and the people. "We've decided to bring our burdens to your front door. Hashtag Black Church. We need you."
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's very easy to point to the things that Jesus has said and done. Just to back that up, it's not even. It's not faith without works is dead. Bam.
It's so true. Brittany Farrell, who is one of the founders of Millennial Activists United, said, she posted a couple of days later, "Moved by the many responses we received from hashtag Black Church, we will be doing this again soon. Talk to your neighbor and your neighbor's neighbor about the radicalization of Jesus Christ, about the turning of the tables in the tabernacle, about how he was killed by the state the same way Black folks are. Walking in Christ's image also means taking to the street to stand with your people and uplifting the righteousness of others. This is not a movement for liberation if all hands are not on deck. You can pray for a new job while applying for work. You can pray for a new car while saving up hard-earned money to purchase that car. You can pray to save a failing marriage while seeking therapeutic counsel, but you cannot pray for freedom from oppression and expect something and doing nothing to contribute to that liberation. Prayer is simply not enough." So shout out to you, Brittany, and to all of the MAU members for leading the charge, as they often do, in their wonderfully vocal way.
Ashley Yates is a part of that too.
Yeah, Brown Blaze. Shout out to her. She's one of my favorite people on the planet Earth. So yes.
She's so cool. I would hope, I'm not going to put put my wishes on someone else, but I don't think that there would have been a problem with them going in and even disturbing a service.
Mm.
Because the reality is that didn't Jesus walk in a temple and tear shit up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would have been a problem, like, yeah, morally. But, you know, the churchgoers were not happy to see them. So let's just put it that way.
I would imagine.
But, yeah, you know, that's how it goes.
It's uncomfortable.
It is. It's uncomfortable, but it needs to be. You know, we're not comfortable either. And it's one of those things that we talked about this on the Penniman Doctrine last week, where I was talking about, you know, my parents' generation really didn't talk about race. It was like this thing you didn't talk about, kind of like how really rich people don't talk about money. You know, it was just this like, no, we won't talk about it. It's not going to be a problem for you. Just do the right thing. Just, you know, get educated, just focus, just, you know, do everything correctly and everything will be fine, you know, because they didn't want to, in my opinion, they didn't want to impose those internal restrictions on their children, because they felt them very strongly in their lives. And they felt those restrictions coming at them, not just from the systems that they had to deal with, but truthfully from their own parents, who were like, nope, know your place. Nope, don't, you can't do that. Nope, that's not what we do. And so I feel like there was this kind of pendulum swing of them really going out of their way to not have that be the message that they sold. But in that pendulum swing, that they missed kind of preparing us for what was really going on in the world. And so that's what we're seeing, is this correction. Black Lives Matter is a correction of that pendulum. It's like, nope, let's bring shit back to center and really make sure that we know with our eyes open what's going on. And we're, you know, somebody posted, a friend of mine, Chris, posted that his nephew asked him about, you know, black people and cops, and, you know, he is younger, just was kind of posing this question to him. He's like, I didn't know what to say. And I said, tell him the fucking truth. I said, tell him the truth. I said, even if he doesn't have to fight for whatever you're fighting for, he'll be fighting for something. It's better to prepare him now and let him know that, because then he'll be secure and he won't think it's weird that people are having to protest. He won't think it's strange that, you know, he won't think it's a fringe element that's taking part in these activities. He'll say, oh yeah, that's normal. That's what we do. We stay on these streets. That's what we do. You know, we push our elected officials. That's what we do. We make sure our voices are heard. So, I think it's great. Ugh. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is in prison in Pennsylvania and has been neglected so sorely on the medical side of things that he was hospitalized last week and unable to see his lawyers or loved ones for several days while he was hospitalized. He was, at the time of being taken to the hospital, he's been a diabetic and was diagnosed diabetic quite some time ago, and came into the hospital with a blood sugar level of 779. 800 is considered a diabetic coma.
Christ.
Some new photos were finally released as significant efforts were made. I know I made numerous calls, as did almost everybody I know, especially here in the Philadelphia area, as this is something that means a lot to all of us, to, you know, allow his family to see him, to allow his lawyers to see him. I honestly just broke down when I saw the photos that were released. Very severe reaction to some medication he was put on, to the point that he really stopped wanting to see anybody. His skin was darkened and hardened. It often was split and bleeding in many places just from him sitting or laying down. I mean, really, they're killing him. I don't know how else to put it except for to just say that the plain God's honest truth, which is that they are medically allowing him to die. And I don't even know. I mean, tomorrow is a really huge day of action, which is Friday, the 10th, nationwide. A lot of different cities are holding either vigils or protests at their district attorney's office and their federal buildings to get something to be done. But I think this is really something that speaks a lot more about the state of our prison systems and the way that prisoners are treated. And I know you talk mm-hmm. all the time about that provision in our Constitution that slavery is not allowed except if you're in prison.
That's a really big fucking but.
It's a really big but. And I think that a lot of people in this country, most people in this country, you know, they watch shows like Oz or they watch, you know, Orange is the New Black, which I fucking hate that show. Never seen it and won't ever see it. It drives me fucking crazy that this white woman went to jail and now is a multimillionaire because of it. So they think it's something that it's not. They don't honestly realize that it really is slavery, that these mm-hmm. human beings are fed crap, often poisoned, often rotten, often inedible, with no nutritional value whatsoever. They sleep in aberrant conditions, 3-4 to a cell that was originally constructed for one body to be in almost every major metropolitan city in this country. They mm-hmm. receive almost no medical treatment whatsoever. They are put in facilities that are so far removed from the communities that they came from that it makes it impossible for them to stay in touch with their families. The telephone companies are
which is
allowed,
key to ending recidivism, mind you.
Key. It's one. There's only two things that can lower recidivism rates by almost 2/3. One of them is education while incarcerated, and the second is ensuring connection to familial and community ties while they are incarcerated. They're the only two levers that can be pulled to have that kind of effect. Nothing else you can do can change it.
Think about that. Not even a job.
Not even a job. Not even money. Not even actual cash walking out of prison can change it as much as those two things can. So it's huge. And then it also goes into gerrymandering because they count these bodies as part of the groups and the areas that these Republicans and GOP representatives come from. So they pull them out of Democratic areas. They don't allow them to vote because they're either in jail or a felon. And then they count them as a citizen in their sections. It's really fucking disgusting, the entire thing. And the fact that nobody gives a shit about it is disturbing to me because it affects every goddamn law that gets passed in this country. And it's crazy. But I just wanted to throw a prayer up for Mumia, for his family, and for all of his supporters and just, you know, be on the lookout, please. If you go to FergusonResponse.tumblr.com/Mumia Must Live, there's a direct listing, has a specific page with nothing but all of the actions that are coming up tomorrow and next week as well, supporting Mumia and the efforts to demand proper dietary care, proper access to medical care, and proper access to his family and his legal representation. So please be on the lookout for that, because it's really just, I don't even know what to say. Like I said, they're just deciding to kill him. Because, you know, it didn't work the first time. The other thing I wanted to talk about, did you hear what happened with Black Girl in Maine over the weekend?
I didn't.
Well, I really don't want to, you know, make her story mine. And I'll put a link up to her blog post, which is titled When Gelato Gets Racial or A Little Girl Hears the N-Word for the First Time. She and her family has a white husband and she has two biracial children, and they were in Portland, Maine, taking a walk, shopping, blah, 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 all of the regular stuff you do on a nice afternoon in the springtime. And on their way to get gelato, a car full of young white men drove by, and the white man in the passenger seat rolled down his window and said, "Hey, nigger," outside the window, screamed at them on the street. Maine is the whitest state in our nation. And Black Girl in Maine, you can follow her on Twitter, Black Girl in Maine. You can go to her website, blackgirlinmaine.com, to follow her escapades of being black in such an incredibly white state, and all of the indignities that come along with that, because there are many of them. This, obviously, being an extreme one. Her daughter had never heard that word, certainly not yelled at her. Her son, however, is 23 years old and has left Maine after a difficult childhood growing up there as the only black person for a very wide space, and took off running after the car. I don't want to go too much into the story because I do feel that it's her story and you can read all about it, and she's written extensively and she's also tweeted quite a bit about it. But what I do want to talk about, though, is a white newscaster happened to be walking her dog while this all occurred, and took to Facebook later that evening to write about it. I have so many problems with this entire, with the entire idea that you watch this happen, said nothing to this family, didn't give a shit about their well-being in the moment, didn't express concern for them, and then you went home and wrote your little fucking piece to use their pain to make you seem like you're such a great person. Quote, we need to do better. Bitch, you need to do better. I'm so fucking sick of black pain being leveraged for clicks, being leveraged for exposure, being leveraged for somebody to make themselves feel good about whatever it is they want to feel good about. It's fucking, it's enough already. It's really, it's just fucking enough.
Well, it goes back to the underlying cause of, or the underlying privilege, which is that my feelings matter more than the fact that you're being oppressed, and I'm complicit in that oppression.
So complicit, and they don't want to look at that complicity. And it drives me crazy because all of those people there, and then it just snowballed from there, you know. Black Girl in Maine had to come and say, you know, this is my family you're talking about, despite the fact that she's not, like I said, it's a pretty fucking white state. It would have been very easy to find out who she was. She's a public person. Mm-hmm. She has a public persona. She works in anti-racist space in New England. Her husband is a journalist. I mean, literally, it's beyond that you wouldn't reach out to somebody before you decide to put their story in such a public format so that now everybody knows who they are. You know, when Black Girl May says, I wanted to go to church on Easter Sunday, but it became clear that everybody there knew what happened. I'm not here for the pity. I don't want to deal with it. And she shouldn't have to fucking deal with it. You made that about you. And now she's the one that has to take the brunt of the repercussions for your bullshit ass non-action. Because that's what the fuck it was. Non-action. Mm-hmm. She then referred to this quote she had, which was, the mother remained calm. The mother, I have a problem with that right away. She don't got a name? What is that? What the fuck is that? And it's so just, I don't even know. I just don't even know. It's so problematic. But the mom remained calm and stern because her daughter was upset. So much to unpack in those seven words, but the mom remained calm and stern. First of all, what the fuck, supremacy? Our people and our parents and our mothers in particular, they remain calm and stern because they have learned that not being calm and stern can lead to their death. That not being calm and stern can lead to their children being endangered. That not being calm and stern can be seen as threatening. And now you're trying to flip that to take away this mother's humanity as if she didn't give a fuck that somebody just called her daughter a nigger right in front of her. That she wasn't embarrassed that this entire street full of white people just saw that. That it wasn't hurting her in her soul to look in her daughter's eyes, who in the car afterwards said, can we move away from here, mommy? What the fuck is wrong with these people, Ricky?
Yeah, I mean, they say that she remained calm as if it's some sort of fucking surprise. What else was she supposed to do, honestly? I mean, you can't paint someone into a corner and then get mad at where they are.
It's just, I just don't even know what to say. You know, it's just fucking typical bullshit with white people seeing things only through their eyes. Meanwhile, we have to be really concerned about how they see things on a regular fucking basis. You know, nobody even walked up to see, are they okay? Are you all right? What was the license plate on that car? Who was that person? We have no humanity, and nobody even gives a mom this space to come for her child, however she fucking sees fit in that moment. Because lamentably, this won't be the first time her daughter has to deal with this.
Nope.
And so she needs to prepare her to be calm and stern in the face of devaluing of our actual worth on the planet. Because the alternative is not pretty. You can't live in the space that the alternative is. You can't function there.
Not and expect to remain alive for very long.
Nope.
I mean, that's kind of the risk that you take. In being black and trying to be yourself, regardless of what that is. You know, if you exist in a space that is primarily white, and, you know, that could largely have to do with either with both access and or sheer population. But you, whatever you do is seen as much more threatening, and it's fucking stressful.
It is. It is, and I don't think that that white people even like have a clue about how stressful it is and how living in that state, what it does to you, what it does to your mind, what it does to your sense of self, how it shapes you in ways you don't even notice until you turn around and you're 25, you're 35, you're 40, and you're like, what? Oh my God, this is bad. This is not good. The way I've been allowing myself to feel. I don't know. What do we do? What do we do?
It's funny because I forgot what study it was. It showed that black kids have higher self-esteem, but lower expectations.
Mm.
It's because, you know, in order to even feel good about yourself, you have to... You have to forget about all of the degrading shit that happens to you on a daily basis when white people don't even have to think about it. Like, there's no question. And, you know, them witnessing you being fucked over or you being called a nigger is worse than you actually being called it. And it's like, wait, what? How does that work? It's odd, to be quite honest.
It really is. It's crazy is what it is. I don't even know. I don't even know. But, you know, I'm going to give it shout out to Black Girl in Maine and to the Deacon Blue, her husband, and to her daughter and to her son. And let them know we're thinking about them because... that really sucks that happened. And more importantly, it really sucks that, you know, your pain became a story for other people to tell when it wasn't theirs to do so.
Yeah, because every black kid has this moment.
Yep.
It sucks that you as a parent, you have to witness it,
yep.
I would imagine. But.
And then relive it and rehash it and have to talk to people about it and see articles written by major news outlets who didn't even take the time to call her. I mean, it's all of these little indignities. And it's just like that Time magazine cover, you know, where it's like, what? You're showing this man's last seconds? Why? Why is it needed? You didn't need that visual there. And all it does is dehumanize this person who is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's because I don't think that they get that they didn't set a proper context. Like, you can show that picture and have that picture on the cover if you're going to discuss it in a particular context and make it so that people have to understand what their decisions are and what the consequences are. But that's never the discussion. It's, we got this one, guys. It's
this time.
Let's call this.
This time.
This is up.
Check. We got it done, people. It's over.
Great job. All right.
Pat yourself on the back.
Now all this complaining, black people, you cut it out.
Y'all can go back to work now.
We gave you one.
Stop the protesting. Wrong again, white America. Wrong again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I have for tonight, man. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm sure there'll be more bullshit to talk about next week, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know that I want to bring that up. Never mind. So I'm bringing up Isaiah Washington's whole adapt comment.
Oh, my God. I told you I have to find the right voice, but I want just a voice to come and just do a quick recording for me here in our home studio that just screams the word adapt so I can just play it at random spaces.
Oh, God.
Whenever some new black bullshit comes up, I'll be like, adapt! I have to find the right voice, though. It can't just be me. I don't know who. Maybe one of my nieces or nephews or something, one of the kids can just say it. Adapt! It'll be very funny. Because it's so absurd. It's so ridiculous of a concept. It's like, oh, okay. Adapt to being dead? I don't understand. What are you talking about? Nothing that man says means anything. And he's trolling us anyway. So you're right.
Yeah.
No.
I'll say this. To ask...
Adapt.
Someone to adapt to an artificial environment that can be changed is unreasonable, particularly when that artificial environment puts their lives at risk. Like, we're not talking about our glaring benefit or our glaring, what's the word I'm looking for here? Strength of the species has been the ability to adapt to one's environment,
right?
And that's unique to all living species. But what has made us different is our ability to modify our natural environment and create artificial environments. And our society, in any society, is an artificial environment. This shit can change. You just don't people. There are people, and I'd say I usually go with about between 65 and 70% of white people, because anything else combined with other minorities could end white supremacy. But it'd have to be about 65-70% of white people for this to continue the way it's doing.
Yeah.
Just from a number standpoint.
Yeah. And it's not looking good. I mean, Drew asked me that all the time. Like, before he even started doing any of his anti-racist work, he's like, well, how many, you know, what percentage of white people do you think are just, you know, ignorant versus, you know, they're complicit? And I said, I would say it's 99.9% complicit. All the time. Every time he asked me, I'd say that. And he'd be like, no, I bet you it's half and half. And then some other bullshit would happen. He'd be like, well, maybe it's 60-40. Yesterday he said to me it's 99.5. I'm directly quoting. But yesterday he finally was like, you know, I think it's 99.5. I have to say, I think it's 99.5 because this is some fucking crazy ass bullshit. Yeah. And it's the
truth. Think about this. White people is a voting bloc in our country. Have not elected a Democratic president since Lyndon Baines Johnson. Wonder what he did to piss white people off that much.
He did something.
I know. Maybe it's the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. Go figure.
Which is like, get over that already. Y'all already gutted that shit anyway, so stop being bitchy about it. Leave the Democrats alone if that's what you're still mad about. You already fixed that part. Fucking white people. You know, I want to make a meme and it would just be a beached whale and then Isaiah Washington screaming at it to adapt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Adapt, beached whale. Don't die out here. Just breathe. Breathe the air. You can do it. Fuck.
It's so stupid because it underscores his ignorance in how evolution even works or what survival of the fittest and adaptation mean.
All you need is a Prius. Let's just keep it real. That's what they told me at Whole Foods. They told me that at Whole Foods. So seems like that's all we need to worry about these days.
Nah, it's just not how Prius. It works.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You've been listening to the Ferguson Response Network podcast with me, Leslie Mack, and my awesome co-host, Ricky Hines. You can find me on Twitter at Leslie Mack, MAC, and you can find Ricky at AUADOTORG occasionally if you're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you can find him on Facebook a lot of the times at Facebook.com/ is it AUA Movement or is it Americans United Again? Americans United Again, right?
AUA Movement.
AUA Movement on Facebook.
Facebook.com/ AUA Movement. And I normally don't do this, But, I mean, my personal Facebook account is Ricky L. Hines II, so it's not really all that difficult to find me.
Oh, shit. Watch out. Watch out, people.
Oh, my blocking is strong. I got a list of about 45 people that I've blocked already.
I think I saw a thing. Please. I think DeRay says that he has blocked, I think it was like 12,000 people so far on Twitter. The other day he posted it. I think there's an app that tells you, or a service that, you know, just like a website that tells you how many people you block. And I was thinking, man, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of assholes. Yeah. A lot of assholes.
I like to play with people before I block them. Like,
I just mute them. Mute them and I just watch them. I think about them screaming and shaking their hands in the air, wondering why I'm not responding to them. Because I muted you. You don't even deserve it.
Sometimes I just like a challenge, but... You ever notice trolls are like really bad nowadays?
They're terrible. They don't have it. They're terrible at it, and they're lazy. A good troll, I'll be like, "Wow, that was creative. Good for you. You put some effort into that."
I didn't even see that coming.
Damn, you got me. All right, good for you. But yeah, no, definitely not. You can find this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or on the AUA. App, which you can get on your Android device or in the Google Play Store. And you can also find us on our website, focusandresponse.org. And you can find us that's everywhere you can find the podcast. And if you're looking for events in your city or like to add actions that you're having in your city, you can go to focusandresponse.tumblr.com. And also tomorrow we are having our very first Black Author Challenge chat tomorrow, which I'm very excited about. So if you are joining us for a full year of reading Black Authors Only, I hope that you join us. I'm really excited about it. So you're going to just ask a couple questions about the books you're reading, why you're deciding to take the challenge, things like that, and hopefully just share some insights on the Black authors that you're reading. And I actually got hooked up with this really amazing publisher who is publishing only Black artists, sci-fi mostly, but others as well. And we're going to pick one of their books to kind of focus on for the next month. And their author is going to join us for the chat. So you'll hear more about that tomorrow as well during the chat. But be on the lookout for that. You'll see that if you want to follow us on Twitter. We do have a Twitter account at Ferguson R-E-S-P. You can find us there. And that's it. Any last thoughts, Ricky, before we end the show?
It's been a long fucking week.
Yeah, it has been. I'm done. This week sucks. Big time. Yeah. I'm happy for it to be over and expecting more fuckery next week, lamentably. So guess we'll deal with that then.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us and have a great night.